summer trip of Berlin. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the hippest town in northeastern Germany. Today is Thursday, the 4th of June, 2015. On this date in 1783, the Montgolfier brothers publicly demonstrated a hot air balloon in Paris. 1876, the Transcontinental Express arrives in San Francisco from New York for the first time, crossing the United States in 83 hours, 39 minutes. 1912, Massachusetts becomes the first state in the United States to set a minimum wage. 1919, U.S. Congress passes the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. 1940, the Dunkirk evacuation ends. 1939, sorry, 1 year before that, the MS St. Louis, a ship carrying 963 Jewish refugees, is denied permission to land in Florida in the United States after already being turned away from Cuba. Forced to return to Europe, more than 200 of its passengers die in Nazi camps. 1942, the Battle of Midway begins, a turning point in the Pacific Theater. 1944, Rome falls to the Allies, the first Axis capital to fall. 1961, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev sparks the Berlin Crisis by threatening to sign a separate peace treaty with East Germany, ending the American, British, and French access to East Berlin. 1975, the governor of California, Jerry Brown, who, by the way, is again the governor of California, in 75, he signs the California Agricultural Labor Relations Act into law, thanks to Cesar Chavez, the first law in the United States giving farm workers collective bargaining rights. 1979, Flight Lieutenant Jerry Rawlings takes power in Ghana after a military coup. 1986, Jonathan Pollard pleads guilty to espionage for selling top-secret United States military intelligence to Israel. 1989, Ali Khamenei is elected as the new supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran by the Assembly of Experts after the death and funeral of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. On that same day in 1989, Solidarity's victory in the first mostly free parliamentary elections in post-war Poland sparks a succession of peaceful anti-communist revolutions and all sorts of other stuff. And on this same day in 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacres take place. Angelina Jolie and Russell Brand, born on the same day, are 40 years old today. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politica column this week is on banking supervision and how if Parliament takes that away from the National Bank, it will lead to the collapse of the Georgian economy. I hope it doesn't, though. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. We have a correction. The death mask of Napoleon wasn't bought by one of his generals, but by Prince Achille Murat, grandson of Napoleon's sister, Carolina, and son-in-law of David Dadiani. Thank you, Uli, for that. We appreciate it. And from Jody, mentioning the Khadija project, in which investigative journalists from around the world are working to finish her stories, the journalist in Azerbaijan who is in prison, are working to finish her stories about corruption among the Azerbaijani ruling elite. It would be great if you want to find the Khadija Project. That is, let me spell it for you, so write this down so you can find it and Google it. It is Kilo, Hotel, Alpha, Delta, India, Juliet, Alpha, then Project. If you Google that, you'll find it. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to spielpod.com or send an email to spielpod@gmail.com. On the 30th of May, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko appointed Misha as the governor of Odessa region. Poroshenko granted Misha Ukrainian citizenship on the 29th of May. It means he automatically loses his Georgian citizenship because there's no dual citizenship unless by special permission of the president. Misha has said a number of times since November 2014 that he was offered the post of Ukraine's deputy prime minister, but declined it because he did not want to lose his Georgian citizenship. As a reminder, Misha has served as a non-staff staff advisor to Poroshenko and chaired Ukraine's International Advisory Council on Reform since February 2015. He is wanted by Georgian authorities on a number of criminal charges, which he denied as politically motivated. While presenting Misha as the new governor to local authorities in Odessa, Poroshenko said that Misha is his, quote, friend from their student years, end quote, and is known for making the impossible possible. Misha said that Odessa is one of the most interesting cities and that it should be the main city, the capital of the entire Black Sea. He also said that it will be a lengthy process and new rules are required for that to happen. President Mark Velashvili condemned Misha's decision, saying it was an insult to Georgia and the presidency that values are more important than a career. Misha responded in an interview with Imedi TV that citizenship is not a barrier and he doesn't need Georgian citizenship in order to make a comeback in Georgia. He pointed out that Shevardnadze didn't have Georgian citizenship when he came to power in 1993, and neither did Bidzina Ivanishvili in 2012. Misha continued that right now being a citizen of Georgia means sitting in Matrosov prison with his friends, so it was necessary to avoid it. On the 2nd of June, the Georgian government said that it is actually not planning to object to Misha's appointment in Ukraine. When Misha was appointed as the head of the Reform Council in Kiev, official Tbilisi asked for his extradition. Foreign Minister Tamriko Berushashvili said it is a sovereign right of Ukraine's government to decide its staff policy. According to Justice Minister Teo Tsiloukiani, the government is actually not rushing to cancel Misha's Georgian citizenship. They're not in a hurry to go through with formal procedure. She said, quote, "Let this issue hang over the head, over his head like a sword of Damocles. This is a political decision, and we will make it when it is necessary," end quote. Some lawyers explain that Misha is actually still considered a citizen of Georgia unless the issue is officially registered in documents to the public service agency. The Justice Ministry also said that according to the Ukrainian Constitution, a citizen of Ukraine cannot be extradited, so Misha can't be extradited to Georgia. As a note, Misha is still the official leader of the UNM. Legislation prohibits the national movement. Legislation prohibits a non-Georgian citizen from chairing any political party or being involved in other political processes. Getting down to work, it seems on the 3rd of June, Misha wrote on his Facebook page that, quote, "The military commissioner of the Odessa district and his subordinates have been detained. They are accused of taking bribes from recruits," end quote. And there are reports in Ukrainian media that Zuradeshvili, former justice minister under Misha, may soon be appointed as a chief prosecutor of Odessa Oblast. The information has not been confirmed officially, but according to Ukrainian sources, Misha wants to reform Odessa's Oblast prosecutor's office. I can imagine. Lots of conversation about this. Is it good? Is it bad? You know, I say things are evenly split down the middle between what people say. My own personal feeling is that Poroshenko did not have the ability to do anything in Odessa, that it's a complicated, quite corrupt Russian-speaking city with entrenched oligarchs, as they're called in Ukraine. And so he couldn't do anything. So that would just be sitting there, and he's trying to take care of Kiev and deal with the invasion. By appointing Misha there, Misha might be able to do something, and if it works, then great. That would be useful for him, and he'd be able to take credit for it, and the risk would have paid off. If it doesn't work out and there are huge problems, then, you know, Misha did it and everyone's, you know, would be happy to blame crazy Misha. So there are not really too many downsides for him. And I think mostly he just wants to shake things up. And that's certainly a place that could use some shaking up. Defense Minister Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli met NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg in Brussels on the 1st of June. It's her first visit to NATO headquarters since taking the defense minister's post in early May. At the meeting, the defense minister ministry said its goal will be for Georgia to be granted NATO membership action plan in the next summit in Warsaw in July 2016. Khidasheli told journalists that the main topic of her meeting onwards from now on until July 2016 will be the summit, and that by the NATO ministerial in October, they plan to have an initial outline. Estonian President Tuomas Hendrik Ilves visited Tbilisi on the 2nd and 3rd of June. He reiterated Estonia's strong and continued support for Georgia's Euro-Atlantic aspirations and said that a positive decision on the EU visa waiver is possible before the end of this year if Georgia tackles remaining technical issues. That the EU-Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga last month was a success, and it's really only technical issues that need to be resolved. During his visit, he met with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Karabashvili, and Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, but, as far as we can tell, not with Ivanishvili. Following up on last week's story, on the 29th of May, President Georgi Mark Velashvili said that if the proposed bill on stripping the National Bank of its supervisory functions with the banking sector is approved by Parliament, he will have to veto it, luckily. As a reminder, the bill was drafted by two lawmakers from Georgian Dream ruling coalition and was submitted to the parliament for consideration on the 21st of May. The parliament has not yet launched discussions on it. In a joint statement last week, leading business associations in Georgia warned that if approved, the bill will put the country's banking sector in jeopardy. Following up on last week's story, 14 political parties and 8 civil society organizations signed a joint petition on the 30th of May calling on Parliament to replace the majoritarian component of the electoral system with a regional proportional system, otherwise known as a multi-member constituency system. As a reminder, last week the Constitutional Court ruled that the existing majoritarian part of the electoral system undermines the equality of the votes and should be changed. The petition calls to introduce a system where 75 members of parliament will be elected through nationwide proportional party list vote, that's nationwide over the entire country, and another half of the seats will be distributed among candidates elected through regional proportional systems, where each traditional region, like Imereti or Kakheti or Guria, would have several members of parliament depending on the number of voters there. And those would be elected within those regions by proportional list. The introduction of such a system would require a change of constitution, which would need the support of at least 113 lawmakers. Even if the ruling Georgian Dream coalition agrees, the proposal to scrap the majoritarian component of the electoral system will be a tough sell to the majoritarian members of parliament. The petition was signed by the National Movement, which, by the way, if you'll remember and have been listening to this podcast for a long time, the UNM was strongly against scrapping the majoritarian system when it was the ruling party. Also the Free Democrats party, which supported the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, or ISFED, as it's called, Georgian Young Lawyers, or GYLA, and the hardest working NGO in the caucuses, TI Georgia. One thing that should be noted is that the Republicans really want it, and Usupashvili is the head of parliament, and now his wife is defense minister. I talked to her a month ago and asked her if multi-member constituencies are dead, and she said, not dead yet. So we got that going for us. On Thursday, the 28th of May, a Kist man from Pankisi was wounded in Tbilisi when an unknown assailant opened fire from within a car at the doorstep of the man's house when he was walking towards his car. The man, Zelim Khan Khagoshvili, was allegedly a mediator during the Lapankuri special operation in August 2012 and has ties to the former government. Family members and friends, however, ruled out the possibility that the shooting may have been related to the special operation. No more information on that right now. On the 1st of June, Putin met with leader of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, in Moscow. Tibilov said he had serious concerns about how Putin is dealing with South Ossetia, and if the Russian leader didn't get things together, he'd have to reevaluate South Ossetia's relationship with Russia. Just kidding! They discussed the implementation of the Treaty on Alliance and Integration between Moscow and Tsinvali. Tibilov promised eternal love, you can imagine. On the 2nd of June, Prime Minister Gadavashvili met with the OSCE chairman in Tbilisi. They discussed Georgia OSCE cooperation and Abkhazia and South Ossetia. On the 29th of May, the building that houses the economy ministry in Tbilisi was put up for sale through electronic auction with a pretty high starting price, I think like $4 million or something. The starting price was $6 million. The auction will close at on the 26th of June. According to the terms set by the ministry, the buyer will have to turn the property into a hotel with at least 100 rooms by the end of 2018. If sold, the building will continue to house the economy ministry until the end of this year. It has not been decided where the economy ministry will be housed if the building is sold. The government first announced an intention to sell the economy ministry building in February to intensify the privatization of state-owned assets amid the depreciation of the lari and raise about $300 to $350 million in the process. Following up on last week's story, BI bought the rare Niko Pirosmani painting that was at Christie's auction house in London for almost $1.5 million, and he is donating the painting to Georgia's Museum of Fine Arts. The painting, Arsenal Hill at Night, is believed to be Pirosmani's most expensive piece. According to Christie's art experts, the estimated piece of Arsenal Hill at Night was between $800,000 and 1.2 million pounds. And unlike the euro, the pound is still quite strong. So that's, you know, approximately the price that that was paid. It belonged to a private collector before going to auction. It's believed Pietro's money painted it somewhere around 2007 and 8. After that, there was news that the Pietro's money painting would be sold. After the news that the painting would be sold at Christie's, some people in Georgia tried to make a fundraising campaign to purchase the painting and bring it back to Georgia. The idea was for every person in Georgia to contribute one lotti to buy it. McDonald's opened its seventh branch in Georgia in Zugdidi. They invested 5.2 million lotti in the construction of the Zugdidi, and I say this with air quotes, restaurant. Prime Minister Garabashvili and U.S. Ambassador Richard Norlin jointly opened the Zugdidi McDonald's restaurant, which was sponsored by Monsanto. Just kidding. A new hydropower plant will be built on the Khedula River in Lower Svaneti, called Khedula 3. The Turkish company Anadolu Tatserlet AS announced that it would invest $80 million to build the 51-megawatt dam. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze and the Turkish company signed a memorandum of understanding on establishing the new power station. The Turkish company has 18 months to complete a feasibility study on the river. The same Turkish company already funded Paravani HPP in Samska Javakheti. Following up on the Anaklia Deep Seaport, according to Minister of Economy Kvitikashvili, a contest for expression of interest for the project has been announced. There is a shortlist including two large consortiums. The winner of the tender will be revealed in September 2015. Construction work will begin in 2016. Kvitikashvili said that the scale of the project, the Anaklia port, has changed and as it takes into account the interest of China to use the transit potential of Georgia. If you'll remember, he took a big trip to China recently. An unnamed Spanish company has paid one lotti to lease the Alphabet Tower in Batumi for the next 20 years. The building cost $65 million to build, but it's in poor condition. The elevator's unreliable. Batumi City Hall says it's very expensive to maintain. They were spending 700,000 lotti per year on the tower's upkeep, so they've decided to lease it. The lease contract has not been signed yet, but the agreement says that the new leaseholders must open a restaurant in the tower within 3 months once the lease is signed. On the 3rd of June, there was the first session of the Georgia-EU Association Committee held in Tbilisi. The European side pledged to increase its financial assistance to Georgia from 65 million euros to 100 million euros. They discussed Georgia's implementation of the EU-Georgia Association Agreement, the visa liberalization process, the reforms in the field of strengthening of the rule of law. The Georgia-EU Association Committee convenes once a year and is a temporary link of institutional cooperation between Georgia and the EU. It was also announced that the EUMM's mandate in Georgia would be extended until the end of 2016. Following up on last week's story, on the 2nd of June, hundreds of mostly young people gathered outside the government office in Tbilisi demanding the decriminalization of marijuana. They also demanded the elimination of random police checks in the street, which sometimes lead to drug tests based on reasonable doubt. The demonstration called on the ruling coalition to approve a recently submitted draft bill put forth by lawmaker Goga Khachidze, formerly of the UNM, to liberalize drug-related legislation. The bill proposes decriminalizing the possession and use of marijuana, but will leave it as an administrative offense punishable with a 100 lotti fine. The bill was revised by the Parliament Bureau and sent to committee for further discussion. On the 4th of June, Prime Minister Garabashvili expressed his sharply negative stance towards the calls for marijuana decriminalization and said that such a move would have deplorable consequences. What those consequences would be, not so clear. On the 3rd of June, the UN General Assembly adopted a Georgia-sponsored resolution reiterating the right of return of all displaced persons and refugees to Abkhazia and South Ossetia by a vote of 75 in favor, 16 against, with 78 abstentions. This is the eighth consecutive year such a non-binding resolution is adopted by the UN General Assembly. Georgia says the goal of pushing the resolution annually on the assembly is to keep the issue high on the international agenda and to widen the circle of support towards the resolution. Turkey, which has abstained in previous years, voted in favor of the resolution this year. Prime Minister Khadabashvili said that Georgia will extend its hepatitis C treatment program with its Abkhazian and Ossetian brothers and sisters in the Ruchi village near the border with Abkhazia. Georgia is building a $41 million hospital. On top of the new hospital, Khadabashvili said a medical station would open in Zugdidi, where Abkhazians will be able to collect sofosbuvir, an innovative medicine for hepatitis C, for free. The new hepatitis C treatment program was introduced last month. On the 3rd of June, Chief Prosecutor's Office announced that it completed the investigation into the unlawful activity of public servants. Five former public officials are accused of illegally seizing private property from Georgian citizens in 2008-2009 and will go to court. The investigations were carried out by the recently created Department of Investigation of Offenses Committed in Legal Proceedings. The department was specifically established earlier this year to investigate crimes committed by public servants where their actions had resulted in citizens suffering physical and or material damage. On the investigations, allegedly revealed that the former Interior Ministry Constitutional Security Department high official Konstantin Archaya, who worked in the Imereti region in 2008-2009, systematically extorted businessmen in the region with the help of his staff. Tbilisi hosted an Open Government Partnership, or OGP, conference on the 3rd and 4th of June. The conference brought together more than 50 public servants from 21 Open Government Partnership countries. Delegates share their success and challenges regarding achieving open government in their home countries. During the conference, Prime Minister Khadabashvili announced a new initiative. The government is establishing a website, iChange.ge, of online petitions to allow the public to be more involved in government activities. If an online petition gains 5,000 signatures, the issue would be discussed at a government meeting. On the first of June was Police Day in Georgia. There was an official ceremony on Sunday, the 31st of May, in Kutaisi. Prime Minister Khadabashvili, President Mark Velashvili, the Interior Minister Gomel Auri attended. Khadabashvili addressed police officers and tried in his speech to explain that there was no reason to be wary of the planned reform of the Interior Ministry, which includes several things, but most importantly, decoupling state security from police as it was under Shevardnadze. I can't say comprehensively, but I think splitting the two of these will be a good thing if they do it. New Children's Hospice will be opened in Tbilisi, where children will be able to receive free palliative care for chronic and incurable diseases. It's a joint project between Open Society Georgia Foundation, the medical corporation EVEX, and the President's Reserve Fund. At the facility, the hospice will open at the end of 2016 in the Vaslijvadi district. Construction work will start in July. 19th century Dadiani Palace complex in Samegrelo will undergo restoration work soon. The Dadiani Palace History and Architectural Museum houses a piece of the Virgin Mary's robe, or at least that's what they say, one of Napoleon's death masks, as discussed. The museum was founded by the Dadiani family, a famous Georgian noble family, in 1921. Total of 28 million lari from the government budget has been allocated to fund the reconstruction works of the historical monuments in Samegrelo, Upper Svaneti region. On the 3rd of June, a 60-year-old man in the village of Bershweti near South Ossetia was abducted while, wait for it, walking around with some of his cattle. 11 mass graves in Abkhazia and nearby territory will soon be open to find and identify bodies of those missing since the Abkhaz War in the early 1990s. The agreement was reached after a meeting in Istanbul between Georgian and Abkhaz officials last week. The negotiations were held under the auspices of the International Red Cross Commission. On the 1st of June, three Polish tourists were airlifted by helicopter from Mount Tetnuldi near the Russian border after being trapped by heavy snowfall at the height of 4,200 meters. On the 2nd of June, a man is missing after he was caught in a glacial landslide in the village of Khone in Khevsudeti, along with about 500 sheep and 40 cows. Georgia will host part of the Euro Cup rafting competition on the 1st of May 2016, according to the Georgian National Rafting Federation. The stages of the Euro Cup are held in different European countries. In Georgia, it will be on the Tkvadi River in the Borjomi region. The new anti-hail rocket system to protect crops, mainly in Kakheti, was used for the first time on the 28th of May, according to the State Security and Crisis Management Council, a body subordinate to the Prime Minister in Tel Aviv. It helped partly prevent a hailstorm from destroying harvest. Part of the harvest was still destroyed because the system started functioning 20 minutes late. Upgrade system is produced by the State Military Scientific Technical Center, Delta. Georgian judoka Onise Bugadze won a gold medal in the 100-kilo-plus category at the European Judo Open in Romania. It was a surprise win. He defeated athletes ranked more than 100 places higher than him on the official world rankings. Georgian footballer Levan Machalidze scored 2 goals in Serie A in his latest match. He's the first Georgian footballer to score a brace in the competition for football clubs in the top of the Italian Football League system. Machalidze plays as a forward for Empoli FC. The first Georgian footballer to score a goal at a Serie A was former AC Milan defender and current energy minister Kahi Kaladze. Georgia won 2 gold, 1 silver, and 1 bronze medal at the 4th Qatar International Karate Championship. They sent 4 athletes and got 4 medals. Good job. 3 pharmacy chains have been fined 500 lari each for recording conversations with customers at their 24-hour outlets without notifying the customers. According to the Personal Data Protection Inspector, 365 pharmacies in the chain Aversi Geofarmi PSP and Sahalho Aptiaki, or People's Pharmacy, recorded conversations with customers. The companies explained that they made the recordings in order to improve service quality. Air Cairo launched direct flights between Tbilisi and Egypt's seaside resort of Hurghada. The decision was made at a meeting between Georgia's ambassador to Egypt and Egypt's minister of civil aviation. They also discussed offering flights between Tbilisi and Cairo. Kazakhstan airline Bek Air is launching flights between Georgia and Kazakhstan on the 7th of June. The flight will go from Aktau and Atyrau to Kutaisi International Airport. Service will run until October 2015. An archaeological team from the Georgian National Museum uncovered 2,000-year-old remains of a temple and a cellar of the Iberian Kingdom at the Triligorebi settlement on the top of a hill in Tbilisi. The temple complex was found through aerial photography and Google Earth satellite images. According to the National Museum, the discovery is important in terms of studying the reconstructing history of the development of the Georgian Kvevedi winemaking process, though they're still excavating to validate their findings. 2 Georgian opera singers will perform at the State Theater of Innsbruck in Austria from June to early July. Tenor Zura Zurabashvili and baritone Michael Bachtadze will sing in the Pique Dame, The Queen of Spades by Tchaikovsky. Main runway at Tbilisi International Airport will undergo repair work, finally, starting in September. The Turkey-based company TAV Airport Holding is a company responsible for operating Tbilisi-Batumi International Airports. The company's first contact with Tbilisi International Airport was signed in 2015, making them responsible for operations at the airport for 20 years until 2025. It's now been extended until 2027. It's America Days in Georgia, a week-long festival of American culture. The events went from Zudidi to Achaltsikhe to Gori, and for those in Tbilisi, there will be events on the 6th of June. Mainly, people in the regions received information on exchange programs, embassy grants, USAID projects, and Peace Corps in Georgia. There was also a hip-hop fusion show in Zugdidi. Some updates from Geostat. Georgia's annual inflation stood at 3.5% in May, after it was 2.5% in April. Prices, those are annualized, of course. Prices on alcoholic beverages and cigarettes was increased by 11.9% year-on-year in May. Prices on food and non-alcoholic beverages increased 3.9%. Prices for outpatient care rose by 4.9% year-on-year in May. For the inpatient services, increased 3.7%. Prices for transport, however, were down 3.2% year-on-year due to fuel prices. Parliamentary news. On the 29th of May, Parliament adopted several amendments regulating the rights of towing companies and strictly outlined situations when cars can legally be towed for Tbilisi. From the 15th of June, vehicles that are deemed to be parked in ways that could cause an accident, promote traffic jams, or hamper pedestrian access will be towed and temporarily stored in specialty penalty parking areas. Vehicles that do violate the law but don't break the situations above mentioned will only be given a 10 lari fine. Previously, according to the law, all parked cars that violate traffic rules, minor or major, could be taken to the penalty areas by CT Park, the company responsible for providing parking and towing services in Tbilisi, although almost no cars are ever towed, it seems to me. Drivers then must pay a 70 lari fine to get their cars back after being towed. Another change to Tbilisi's parking legislation obliges local officials or an authorized person to ensure that the owners of the towed vehicles can access information about their missing vehicles via hotline or text message. On the 25th of May, public defender Nanuashvili submitted a draft bill to Parliament recommending amendments to the civil code on marriage age. According to his proposal, it should be that only the courts can give permission for 16 to 18-year-olds to marry. Currently, youth aged 16 to 18 can get married with permission from their parents. But as the public defender explains, it's often the parents who are the initiators of early marriages, and in some cases, they are forced. According to a recent report by UN Women on Kvemokartli region, 42% of ethnic minority women, Azeri and Armenian, in Kvemokartli got married when they were 13 to 18 years old. On the 29th of May, Parliament passed legislation amendments that broadened the scope and range of offenses and other activities linked to participation in illegal armed groups. It also criminalizes traveling abroad in an attempt to go abroad for the purposes of terrorism. On the 29th of May, also Parliament elected Georgian Dream members of Parliament from the Republican Party, Levon Bertsanashvili, as the new chairman of the Committee for European Integration, and Georgian Dream lawmaker Gela Samkharaouli as chairman of the Agrarian Committee. As a reminder, those posts became vacant in early May after Tinikos Khidasheli, who chaired the Committee on European Integration, was appointed to the Defense Minister, and Gigla Agulashvili became the Environment Minister. The meme this week is a picture posted by a Ukrainian on Facebook, Misha holding a glass in one hand and his head in the other, and it says in Ukrainian, "Who was I drinking with yesterday? Why am I governor?" Stuff to read. Kate McKenzie from Newsweek writes on how everyone, i.e. the EU, is ignoring that Russia basically annexed South Ossetia 2 months ago. Zviad Adzinbaya for New Eastern Europe writes on Georgia's fifth column, loyal to Russia, basically a fake intelligentsia of people who were well off and connected during the Soviet times and are miffed at Georgia's Western course and want to sabotage it. Christian Science Monitor explains a new police reform happening in Ukraine. As of July, they'll be firing the entire police force and replacing them with new non-bribe-taking forces, just like the Georgian-style reforms in Misha's early years. Lynn Gardner for The Guardian advocates for the UK to open its borders for foreign artists to visit for the sake of British theatre, using the example of Georgian theatre group New Collective. They were supposed to perform at the Flair Festival, were invited, but because they're four young women with no dependents and little money, the UK won't let them in. Democracy and Freedom Watch goes to the Tushy town of Zemo and Kvemo Alvani in Tusheti to see a centuries-old horse race. Peter Naismith for Open Democracy explores Georgian literature and some of its various aspects. Los Angeles Times walks through some of the new Georgian restaurants at Old Village in Glendale and has a piece just on Khingali, which they really, really like. Kiev Post gives some details on Misha's Odessa posting. All this stuff is posted on our forum, or will be. Geocapital number is 65%. This is the increase in air travelers between Georgia and Russia January to May 2015 compared to the same period 2014, according to the Ministry of Economy. Currently, four airlines carry out direct flights between Tbilisi and Moscow. In the first part of 2014, only two airlines did on the same route, and the flights were not so regular. Amirani Cinema is showing Spy with Jude Law, Jason Statham, and Melissa McCarthy every day until the 10th of June 2015. every day until the 10th of June at 7:30. Tbilisi is hosting Kavkaz Jazz Festival from the 4th to 7th of June. There'll be performances from Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Poland. The famous Polish folk jazz singer Johanna Słowińska is performing on the 5th of June near Wacke Park. Go to the site Kavkaz Jazz for the program. The 6th Kazbegi Trial Marathon will take place on the 5th of September 2015. Runners will be able to choose four distances to run. There's a marathon, half marathon, an 8-kilometer fun run, a 42-kilometer relay race. The event's being organized by tourist agency Visit Georgia and will be hosted by Rooms Hotel Kazbegi. It's also a charity event. A portion of the registration fee will be given to the Parents' House, an oncology hematology center in Tbilisi where sick children from Georgia's regions are treated. Go to kazbegi-marathon.com. That's not underscore, it's like a hyphen, kazbegi-marathon.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2014, Prince Fatty meets Nostalgia 77. This is Medicine Chest.